then you're wrong speaking it. Because you're using God's word and you're using truth to hurt somebody else to protect for your own self. Okay? And I have seen that happen. I've seen somebody like, well, they're not gonna walk all over me this time. And I'm just gonna speak the truth. Well, I'm glad God doesn't do that to me. You don't ever want to hurt somebody. Like I said, none of us are doing all this right. My prayer is that when I get in somebody's face, and you can ask Edie about this, because I get in her face a lot. The only time I get in somebody's face, at least where I walk now with God, isn't because I know something. It's like, haha. It's because I know I've got to break through that wall to get them to the other side. And let me tell you what, if that's what you're doing, then you should break through that wall. And if you do that without breaking through that wall, you just hurt somebody. Do you understand what I'm talking about? To leave somebody feeling hurt and unloved without the victory. Now, sometimes they won't get it, and you just got to say. I mean, some stuff happened with Gina, and she started crying, and all I could say is, the tears are good, they're real. So God's starting something real. That's true. I didn't have time to take her through everything in her entire past and everything that wasn't real before and all that. And then her accuser thing started making up all this other stuff, but she's mature enough to stop it. And then there's other people God put around her who can also keep going on with it. Most of you have enough teaching to get through anything that anybody says to you. And actually, that's why we all get along so good, even when all this stuff is happening. It's kind of cool. It's kind of like, I'm not letting a devil on you run me away. I'm not letting a devil on you get me out of God's will. I'll just bless you and forgive you and see what God wants to do. Okay? But you got to recognize that. You could have a demon in you that perceives that other people are accusing you when they're not and twists what's being said. How do you know if that happens? Okay? We're getting to some real rubber meets the road stuff tonight. How do you know if you have something in you that twists what other people are saying to you and you perceive it wrong? When you're always misunderstood. I'm almost... People speak to me and I don't misunderstand it. I know what they're saying, whether it's good or bad. If I repeat it back to them, it's exactly what they said to me for the most part. But if you're always being misunderstood, do you understand what I'm saying? That's how you understand. Okay, how come when I see this, it always seems wrong? Then you're the one who has a spirit that's purposely been sent there to cause you to feel rejected, to cause you to be unteachable, to cause you to feel wounded. Okay? It's probably a false self-protection thing. You know, I'm not receiving anything. Therefore, I won't be hurt. Okay? That's a thing we need to deal with. How many think they could possibly have that? There goes the hands. Okay. That's good. You need to know. We need to write. Somebody write that down for me, Dave. Put down, what do we call that thing? Twisted perception. How would you like to untwist that thing and really hear what people are saying so you can get free faster? Yay. Okay? So what you have is you've got a devil assigned to you whose job is to make sure that if anyone talks to you anything that could help you, they're going to take it and make you feel bad about it. All right? So it's a demon. It's an accusing thing. It's part of this accusing thing. It's either a separate one or part of the thing. It's just going to take whatever comes at you. You have this, Gina. It flared up this weekend. Right. And let me say something. I don't understand how God does this, but if you had walked in our office Monday and you had seen some people, what they're dealing with, where's Nicole? There she is. And if you had heard the phone call, it's hilarious. It's almost like, I guess I'm preaching the right thing at the right time. It started with Laurie bringing up something, and I said, maybe I ought to preach that Tuesday. Maybe I'll preach that Tuesday. I don't know if that makes all the angels go, oh, she's going to preach that Tuesday? Here, let's get it out in Gina. Rah! Oh, let's run over here and get it out in Nicole. Ooh! And then everybody's like, ooh, and everybody's like, I'm like, just hide me till Tuesday night. I said, let's just bind it till Tuesday. Let's just bind it till Tuesday. I don't know how God does that. It does show unbelievable unity for God to deal with a group of people all at one time. It's just amazing. But he keeps doing that. Maybe it's everybody has everything, so it doesn't matter which comes up. But he does bring it all. Thank goodness it's not a bunch of different things at one time. So when we do the altar call in a few minutes, one of the things of the accuser, if you're constantly being told that that's not what was said, then you have something in you that purposely twists what people are saying to you to hurt you. Okay, we want to get that out. All right? Another thing it does, in your own head, no one has to say anything. It takes everything it possibly can and accuses you that you're at fault, that you're to blame, you're not good enough, you're guilty, you did this, you did that. And it constantly makes you feel works-oriented. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's about your works. You can't please God. It keeps you thinking about what you're doing. You think about it, all this keeps you self-centered. And Satan's entire technique is to keep you thinking about you so you're not thinking about God. Keep you selfish, self-centered. It's all about self. If he can keep you on the throne, he can keep God off the throne. All right? So, if that's something that you do, and I know like Irene's saying, I know you have that one. Okay? So if that's happened, and you can see it, God wouldn't talk to me like that. Does everybody have a pretty clear understanding of how God would talk and how God wouldn't talk? Okay? Now, God will rebuke, but it's only with love to protect you. When he said, get thee behind me, Satan, he was really warning. That was pretty heavy duty, and I don't encourage you all to say that to each other. Unless you have unbelievable discernment. And an unbelievable fruit. I mean, and you're raising a few dead people, that kind of thing. but when he said that, he was showing Peter that there was something very strong in him that was going to try to destroy Peter. Now, Peter could have received that rebuke, and I think he could have prevented denying the Lord. But in his pride, he didn't get it. So he had to take trial number two to get to the right. You know, I'm trying to have ears anymore to hear so I don't have to go through part two. I really believe that. I believe you can really get changed without the trials. I really do. I've seen God change me without the trials. Can you imagine having to go through a major trial for all this changing he's been doing in the last couple of years? Oh, thank you guys for just being open to the Holy Spirit, not everybody having to go through that many trials. There's really very few really traumatic trials, or at least they're turned around quickly, like you're getting your head, you know, falling out the car and your head split open and living and everything, you know, and then getting saved. That's cool. You sure made that one a lot easier on your mom. I mean, that looked like something that's going to be like a 7 or 8 month thing. Or Norman, when he did his big mess up, God turned it around in a day. Thank you, God. That, you know why God's turning things around in a day? Because you guys are learning to do things God's way, to take authority, to pray, to repent, to see what you did, how Satan got in and get him out. And that's how you lose fear. Perfect love casts out fear because you begin to know, I can trust this God. If Satan hits me, all I have to do is get in the presence of God, find out what I got to do. How do I repent? What do I do, God? He will show me and it's over and it's for real. Thank you, God. Yay. And that's when you don't have fear anymore. Not that you learned how to stand in somebody else's prayer line and you think if you hang around the right people, you can get free. No, God wants you to where you know. And it isn't kidding. I mean, I know Donna got a great victory last week, but boy, it was tough the week before, won't it? Everything in you wanted to run, call me everything in the book. You didn't have to say it. I could see it, boy. The accuser, think about it. I know some of you think we think about you a lot more than we do. Why? Because the accuser is going to keep you the center of your universe. Poor me. It's all about me. Why is this happening to me? It has to be about me. Why can't it do this about me? It's not about you. That's what God tells me. It's not about you. Get self-absorbed. After you get free from this accuser, re-listen to self-absorbed, and you'll really get free. The accuser spirit, think about it. Its assignment is to keep you feeling, first of all, to keep you thinking about you. That's number one. To keep you feeling like you'll never, ever, ever become what God wants you to become or have something real with God. Number two. Constantly to keep you in unbelief, doubt, and fear. Let me tell you something about this thing. He is defeated. Do y'all get that? He can't do anything to you if you keep walking with God. Stay in the will of God. Your righteousness is in Christ. Yeah, you got to stay righteous. You got to be righteous for the devil not to eat you. How do you stay righteous? By working real hard? Trying real hard? Listening to the devil and trying to obey him? No. You stay righteous by staying in love with Jesus. And when God shows you something, you repent. When God deals with something, you repent. You hate what he hates. You love who he is. You stay in his will. This is a good one. Do you read the Bible to stay righteous? Why do you read the Bible? Because you want to know him. You want to know what truth is. There actually comes a time, like I've been reading the word so much, I'm just like, I'm so hungry again, so great. Not that I wasn't, but it's like when he gives me this newer, deeper revelation, I just want to reread the whole thing and see how it all lines up and see where it all fits in. And I'm just like, I can't read enough of it. I love it. And then I sit there in his presence and I think about it. I was like, yes, yes, thank you. I read it. I never read it just to try to find a message. I don't even read it when I give a message. I read it to find him. I read it to find truth. I read it to know, is he like this? Would he say that? What does he do? And it just makes me just know him more. And it makes me understand the experiences that I'm having with him are really from him. Bye, James. Love you. And so I just really read it because I want to know him. When I pray, do I do it to stay righteous? You do it because you want to talk to God. Are you getting this? Can you separate the works? Slave driving, do this to please God. That's not God. That's the devil. But if you think it's God, he's going to keep being God in your life. Anybody think of anything else to help? Yes, Laurie. Well, one of the biggest things he likes to accuse you of is to say this isn't working for you. You have probably the most severe case of this I've ever met. But see, that's you helped me get to this because I didn't know other people did this. I didn't. We've talked about condemnation and we've talked about the accuser of the brethren. We never actually have talked about the accuser in your brain. We've never talked about that. And it wasn't till the way Laurie was saying them things that it rose up in me like, why are you listening to him? And she goes, but it's up. No, I don't care what it is. I don't care if he's telling you, you know, you need to change your toenail colors. I don't care what he's telling you. The bottom line is, why are you listening to him? Who cares? But he's telling me, you know, I'm going to be in a wheelchair. Who cares what he says? Well, he's telling me that I'm scared. Who cares what he says? Till I had to jump. Who cares what he says? Oh, I get it. I'm not supposed to care what he says. Okay, it's not your own thoughts. Okay, that was your problem. Right, her problem. Somebody else may. How many other have that problem? That you think it's your thoughts accusing you? Right, well, the accuser will tell you, yeah, there's no hope for you. But there's another spirit you've taken on if your way of handling hopelessness is to just give up. And that's probably on another tape. I'm sure it's on another tape series. Right, right. It's something that says, you know, it's not going to work for you. And so, and that's another spirit. But this spirit of accuser, they all trigger each other. You know, they're on there. They're like inside working the chain gang. You know, we're having a good old time in here. Okay, let's take what they what was just said and make them feel like it's hopeless. Hopeless, hopeless. Then hopeless rises up and says, okay, why don't you just give up then? Then suicide comes up and says, you just will kill yourself. What good is it? And pretty soon you got this whole little convention going on in there of demons who've been defeated at Calvary. You know, it's like, ah! Yes. What you're saying is, if someone else is in sin or has an issue and you still have that issue, then you feel like your salvation no longer counts. Right. When you're really not supposed to compare yourself anyway. But, right. The bottom line is this. If you're saved, you have repentance.